Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, you health renaissance people. Okay, today is exciting. We're talking about osteoporosis causes and solutions. And the second part that we're going to have on tonight is, and we're going to delve into it today, face masking. Okay, the science behind it. And if you look at this, osteoporosis is literally not a disease. It's an adaptation to a toxic and deficient environment. Face masking is an adaptation to a sick, controlled environment. Okay, so let's cut it down right here. The causes of osteoporosis, it's lack of use. It's also medications, toxicity, and nutrient deficiency. That's it. The solution to have healthy bones is to actually utilize them, eliminate unnecessary medications, decrease toxicity, and get sufficient nutrients. And you're thinking, no, it can't be that simple. It is, but we're going to delve into the science of osteoporosis and the mask wearing. Also, too, I got to remind you, the Dr. B VIP site, if you're aware that there's a massive censorship program going on, great. And if you're not aware that there's a massive censorship program going on, then the censorship is working really well. But you might be noticing that there's a lot less dialogue going on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. And even Google search engines are being censored, as well as, well, Parler's gone. It's probably going to be coming back. But freedom of speech is really being challenged, along with freedom of movement, freedom of religion. So we started the site, Dr. B VIP. That's www.drbvip.com. I encourage you to help support us, too. And on this site, you'll get all the PowerPoints, all the handouts, everything in an easier format so that you can share this, so that you can be part of the resistance and actually make a difference. Also, join the Extreme Health Academy. That is amazing. Forums everywhere else. It's $19.99 a month. And you're looking at handouts, censored videos as well. We're also on Library, LBRY.TV, and BitChute. Those are probably going to be breaking down too. So let's look at this. 10 million Americans suffer from osteoporosis. 44 million have osteopenia. Now, when we're looking at baby boomers, there's 72 million of us. And 1 in 2 women, or half of the women, and 25% of men will break a bone due to bone thinning. So let's go way back to 1995. Now, Merck, the pharmaceutical company, developed Fosamax, and it's a non-hormonal treatment to treat thinning of the bones. Now, they had to find something, because hormonal treatments that Merck was passing out was causing cancer. But they had trouble. They couldn't sell their drug. And figure there were only 200 densimeters in the entire U.S. because it wasn't really a big issue at the time. So Merck created the Bone Measurement Institute. Now, this is brilliant PR. Now, there's no building. It wasn't any fancy thing. It was literally a desk headed by Jeremy Allen, a Merck employee. It was literally his desk was the Bone Measurement Institute. And what they found is there was a way to lobby Congress to help their constituents by testing for osteoporosis. So they literally had to build it. And Merck found a real cheap way to measure. Like they were looking at the wrists, forearms, heels, and these are the cheap densimeters. Now, they're not that accurate, but Merck bought the company that measured the bones. And then Merck got Medicare to pay for the bones. And then Merck went to these doctors' offices, sold them the bone densimeters, and then gave them a huge market now, because now you can market your drug. I mean, that is just brilliant. And so osteopenia became a condition that was seriously considered for a treatment, because when you're measuring a bone, you can see obviously if it's too thin. So that's osteoporosis. And then you see some bones that are, not really normal, but they're not really thin. So they called that osteopenia. And that was thought up in 1994 in Italy when they did they got together and decided to, hey, we got to come up with an actual bone density. So in 1994, there were 77,000 people with osteopenia. 5 years later, in 1999, there were 1.5 million annually. And in 2019, there were 44 million. So 77,000 to 44 million. And the same time period, the sale of the densimeters, the peripheral machines, went up over 500%. So how do they compare you? Well, they're comparing you, the U.S. standard of a 30-year-old of the same sex and ethnicity. Why ethnicity? Well, if you look at African males, have the thickest bone density on the planet. It's just how their genetic makeup is. Northern European females have some of the thinnest bone densities on the planet. And that's not a pathology or anything else. It just seems to be how they're built. And so this is called their T-score, and that's the normal reference. Now, it's interesting because there's also a Z-score, which is age-matched and normal. And it has to do with their age, sex, and ethnicity. But also glucocorticoid, hyperparathyroidism, alcoholism, all of these can negatively affect it. And in Rome, Italy, this is when they had to come up with osteoporosis versus osteopenia. And so what is normal? So it really breaks down to if you build your body faster than you break down, that's called health. If you break down faster than you build up, that's called disease. Now, you have to look at how the body works, though. You've got cells that live on your bones that build the bone. They're called osteoblasts. Cells that tear down the bone, they're osteoclasts. And so that means you need this constant buildup and breakdown of bone in order to build up and break down and create that new bone. It's interesting because the drugs that they use to treat this actually limit that osteoclast and osteoblastic production. So your bones don't get broken down, so they look denser and they don't get built up. And so that old bone gets in there. So they appear denser, but they actually have an increase in fracture rates. So what's the cause of osteoporosis? Well, it's either lack of use, medication, but also your blood has a certain pH. It's got to be between 7.35 and 7.45. If you're a half a point above or below, you will die. So since our systems are so acidic, the body's going to go to the bone bank and withdraw calcium to alkalinize the blood. And that acidity or blood acidity has to be regulated. And so it's hugely important to look at alkalinizing food, alkalinizing the diet, and alkalinizing your system. And we know that degenerative changes don't appear in older bones more than younger bones. That all has to do with trauma. So do not associate arthritic changes with osteoporosis. Osteoporosis does not hurt at all, okay, until you get a fracture. And I'm going to show a couple of pictures, one of a 95-year-old and one of an 80-year-old. And these guys, they got good bone density, a little thinning, but it's normal for them. Now, it's interesting that the drug that they give you called Fosamax, okay, that's the one of the main brand names. This is one of the drugs that limit that osteoblast and osteoplastic production. Now, let me read it off the safety manual. The optimal duration of use has not been determined. The safety and effectiveness of Fosamax for the treatment of osteoporosis are based on clinical data of 4 years duration. Patients at low risk of fracture should be considered for discontinuing the drug after 3 to 5 years of use. Now, why would that be? So you get somebody with thinning of the bones, and you give them a drug to prevent thinning of the bones. However, they can't take it longer than 5 years because there's an increase in fracture rates. That's right, you're giving a drug that increases fracture rates. Now, what's amazing, women taking Fosamax are 125 times more likely to suffer a femur fracture from falls than women not taking the drug. So the drug they give you for thinning of the bones increases fracture rates. But you're talking, $241 million a year. That's amazing. Now, commercial dairy is literally causes your blood to be acidic, and it causes a weakening of the bones. I mean, if you look at India, Japan, and Peru, the average daily calcium is way less. It's a third of the U.S. But they also have very low bone fractures from osteoporosis. So let's look at the things that balance pH. If an acidic body causes your body to go to the bone bank to withdraw the calcium, what kind of things balance the pH? Well, we got respiration, perspiration, urination, and nutrient depletion, like calcium, magnesium, iodine, potassium, sodium. All of those nutrients you need. And so if you have not exercising, so poor respiration, you're not sweating, perspiration, you're not taking up nutrients or urination. Let's say you're drinking diet soda. Diet soda has a pH of 2.5 to 4.5. That's acidic. And in the U.S., soda is one of the number one sources of calories in America. Hell, the average person drinks around 46 gallons. And so they're drinking this acidic process. Do you think that would negatively affect the blood pH? Yeah. Now, medical conditions that increase fractures, you're looking at inflammatory bowel disease, vitamin D deficiency, steroid use, thyroid medications, antacids cause thinning of the bloods, antidepressants, high blood pressure medications, nonsteroidal anti-inflammatories, proton pump inhibitors massively increase risk fractures. And so those are some of the most popular antacids. And fluoridation. So, I mean, luckily, communities are starting to wake up to the fact that fluoridate in the water causes a number of different problems. We're talking cancer, osteoporosis, bone spur formation, dental fluorosis. I mean, it's deadly. So how do you correct it? Well, number one, look at vitamin K. And this is dark green leafy vegetables, Brussels sprouts, grass-fed butter, animal products. Fantastic. If you're taking medications, find out why you're taking them and correct the problem. And because if you're taking antacids, don't drink any water before meals. Look at some of our videos, get on the Extreme Health Academy, and look at the forums on how to solve reflux, indigestion, inflammatory bowel disorders. These are all adaptations to chronic stress. Then you've got to exercise, move your body. But the best one is going to be to start off with the rebounder. Because when you're on a rebounder, you're increasing and decreasing pressure. That stimulation, increase and decreasing pressure, stimulates those cells that build up the bone and tear down the bone. And look at magnesium as one of the most important supplements to take. And this is magnesium deficiency, of course, osteoporosis, but we're looking at neurologic disorders, headaches, migraines, depression, panic attacks. Vitamin D, absolutely fantastic. It's amazing because in all this corona psychosis, you're not hearing anything on mainstream about anything that strengthens the immune system. It's always fear of the bug. But when you talk about strengthening the immune system, vitamin D, super important. And the CDC just came out with, oh, turns out vitamin D is good for you. But also vitamin D deficiency, you're looking at, again, depressive and mental disorders, digestive disorders, and osteoporosis, a huge amount. Best sources of vitamin D, looking at wild fish, mackerel, sardines, Anchovies, wild-caught salmon, fantastic. Shiitake mushrooms, amazing. Looking at natural sources of magnesium, dark green leafy vegetables, nuts, and again, mackerel, avocados, banana. I mean, there's so many prunes, figs, dates, dark chocolate, all of these great sources of magnesium. And nose breathing. As weird as it is, if you're breathing in through your nose and out through your nose, in through the nose, out through the nose, air gets warmed, but also it acts as a filter, okay? And the nerves in your nasal passages are directly connected to your hypothalamus. So when you're nasal breathing, it stimulates nitric oxide production because your air is going by the mucous membranes, but it actually regulates your heart and regulates breathing rate. Now figure nitric oxide, which you produce when you breathe in through your nose, and when you're breathing in, remember your diaphragm comes down, so your tummy's got to come out. Nitric oxide is a bronchodilator, so it opens up the air tubes, and a vasodilator, so it opens up the blood, the arteries. Now, nitric oxide lowers your blood pressure, increases oxygen absorption, kills bacteria, kills viruses, and boosts your immune system. Wait a second. Let me say that again. Breathing air through your nose creates nitric oxide. This lowers your blood pressure, increases oxygen absorption, kills bacteria and viruses, and boosts your immune system. So how insane is it that we cover our noses and mouths in the vitamin D deficiency season, which is winter time, and this is supposed to protect your immune system or you from getting a disease? I mean, if you look at California schools, when they actually are talking about opening the schools, they're still going to make the kids wear masks, and that's why we're going to talk about the science or lack of science, mainly psychosis of wearing masks. They're going to do temperature checks. They're going to limit students. They're going to set social distance 6 feet apart, reduce bus capacity, no general lunch or recesses. It is mind-blowingly stupid. So that's why we're also on the censored portion. Okay, which we're going to try and get by with talking about the censored portion on the Blog Talk Radio. Hopefully the censors aren't really knocking it out on this one. So we're going to go over face masks, but just like last week, we hit a lot on the vaccines. So how do you explain mask insanity? Well, because when you get these talking heads on the TV, and say, well, these little droplets have these viruses, and they fly through the air, and they can infect people. And so now it's a badge of honor. It's a virtue signaling. And that if you're wearing a mask, you're protecting others. Okay, it's designed for control. Just think of this. Do you remember sitting in your house one day and the sunlight streaming through the window, and you see these little percolates in the air? Well, that is particulate matter. Generally, most of the dust in a house is human skin. It's also viruses, bacteria, parasites, funguses. I mean, it is everything. This is why you have to dust your furniture, because there is dust and everywhere, and germs everywhere, and we're designed to live in. So think of this. You're walking through this cloud, and you have a mask on. Will it hit your hair? Yes. Will it hit your shirt? Will it hit every part of your body? Absolutely. So you're going to have, if somebody is close to you, this mask that's limiting oxygen, weakening your immune system, limiting airflow out of your system, because when you're breathing out, you're breathing out a lot more than just carbon dioxide. You're breathing out moisture, you're breathing out cells, you're breathing out funguses, you're breathing out bacteria, everything. And you want to get rid of that. Plus, exhaling, you're alkalinizing the system. Now, we just talked about nose breathing. How many times have you been in a supermarket or hardware store? Must cover the nose, sir. Must cover the nose. Really, where's the science behind that? Okay, that's why we're going to talk about it. But the way you can explain this insanity is that if they're walking through an environment and they're in a sea of dust and dirt, it's going to hit everywhere. So as soon as they touch their face, they touch their mask, they touch their clothes, they scratch their arm, they scratch their belly, they're going to have viruses and bacteria everywhere. Once that mask gets moist, it causes damage. And also, too, if you're wearing the blue masks, like the majority of people, because they're very cheap, they're covered in fire retardants. So you're getting cancer-causing agents in there. Now, great article, Adam McCollum, we'll have that link. And they go through a lot of details about, and here's the title of the article, Shutting Down Schools Makes Absolutely No Sense. And this was the survival rates by the CDC, September 2020, so pretty recent. So this is survival rates, COVID-19 survival rates from the CDC. So from the year birth to 19 years old, you have a 99.997% chance of living. Okay, that's two nines past the point. So it is virtually not negatively affecting any children from birth to 19. And in fact, from March 1st to September 10th, searching all of the data, school-age children from 5 to 17 years old, there were 51 deaths in all of America. Now, figure that, there's 56 million students. So this is less than 1 in a million per year death. Now, that's mind-blowing to think that we've shut down schools for that ridiculousness. Now, if you want to know about the flu, there have been more than 200 kids that die on average from the flu during a five-month season. So we're looking at the flu is four times more deadly than this, but we're not shutting down the schools, we're not masking or doing social distancing. When we look at the U.S. News came out with a great one, and it turns out that wearing a mask increases the infectious rate. That's right, wearing a mask does not protect you, it increases the infectious rate. How did they know? Well, researchers examined cases over a 229-day period from May 1st through December 15, 2020. And in states and governments that imposed a mask mandate and when they hadn't, in states with a mask mandate, okay, there were an average of 27 cases per 100,000 people per day. So you're wearing a mask every day. You've got to wear it to the hardware store. You got to wear it when you're driving or when you're walking. If not, you get fined. Okay? Complete crazy, 27 cases per 100,000 people per day. Now, states that did not have a statewide order, that never had mandates, there were 17 cases per 100,000 per day. Wait a second. With a mandate, 27 cases per 100,000 per day. Without a mask mandate, 17 cases per day. That's 10 more reported infections per day with a mask mandate than without. Now, 15 states that went without a statewide mask mandate for the duration of this analysis, Alaska, Arizona, Florida, Georgia, Idaho, Iowa, Missouri, North Dakota, Nebraska, New Hampshire, Oklahoma, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, and Wyoming. You don't see a lot of people dying there, do you? Nope. And that's out of U.S. News. Now, in Florida, now Ron DeSantis, the governor down there, God bless him, he's taken a hell of a hit for keeping his state open and working. Now, there were 67 counties in the state, 22 imposed a mandate in order to put masks on. Now, they had an average of 23 cases, the ones that imposed the mandate, 23 cases per 100,000 people per day. When counties didn't have a mandate, there were 22 cases per 100,000 per day. Now, I know. There, and in cases that never had a mandate, there were 17 cases per 100,000 per day. And what this article goes on to state, quote, there is no evidence that protective mask mandates correlate with a reduced spread of the coronavirus. If anything, the opposite is true. So remember that nose breathing is good for you? Cover that nose, sir. We got to keep people in control. In University of Florida, and you can get this off of rationalground.com. I would totally recommend this site. Researchers gathering data, looking at the actual hard numbers, not the politics. Rationalground.com. Title of the article is University of Florida Researchers Find No Asymptomatic or Pre-Symptomatic Spread. Because remember, healthy people are supposed to put the mask on. Healthy people. Now, is that making you sicker? Is that protecting you? No, you're an asymptomatic person. So let's see. Now, they did a study out of the Journal of the American Medical Association, a meta-analysis of 54 studies looking at a secondary rate of SARS. So if you're, one person has it, do they give it? Or is there an asymptomatic transmission? And what they found was the asymptomatic or pre-symptomatic secondary attack rate is not significantly different from zero. That's right. And what they actually found was a negative response, but you can't have a negative response where you have more asymptomatic people and having less infections, because that wouldn't work out with the numbers. So they say there's actually no good statistical analysis of it. Also on masks, the Danish study is out of the Technocracy News, a Danish study. It checked 6,000 participants who tested negative for COVID. Half the participants wore surgical masks, roughly 4,800, and half didn't. The researchers hoped that the mask would cut the infection by half among the wearers. 42 people in the mask group, or 1.8%, got infected, compared to 53 in the unmasked group, or 2.1% infected. And that, out of 6,000 participants, not significant at all. So you're still looking at a 98% chance of not getting sick, whether you wore a mask or not wear a mask. I mean, it's just mind-blowing. And then we're going to have study after study after study on face mask. Here, let's go here. This one's out of the National Institute of Health. Quote, a careful examination of literature in which 17 of the best studies were analyzed. None of the studies established a conclusive relationship between mask/respirator use and protection against influenza. This is out of the Journal of the American Medical Association. Quote, face masks should not be worn by healthy individuals to protect them from acquiring respiratory infections because there is no evidence suggest that face masks should be worn by healthy individuals. In fact, do not prevent people from getting ill. It's just study after study. But also, on a positive note, National Institute of Health and the CDC have exemptions for the new vaccine. So if you have fear that they're going to force this experimental use authorization vaccine that's never been used in humans before, and you may, you're never going to find this on CNN, but you may be aware that in Norway there were around 30 deaths now in the elderly after getting this shot. And in Auburn, New York, there were another 25 that died within a week after getting this shot. So it turns out that there's a sensitization of some of the ingredients in the shot. And luckily the CDC said that's one of the contraindications. So we're going to cover that next week. This is Dr. John Bergman. Know that you were designed to live on this planet. You do not need special equipment in order to survive. And your bones are going to be strong and healthy if you use them and don't toxify your body. The world will come back around. We have a few years of insanity. So if you have relatives that have drunk the Kool-Aid, and they're listening to CNN every day, approach them with love and understanding and know that eventually they will come around. This is Dr. John Bergman, your health and life advocate. God bless you. When you walk by a mirror, look at your reflection and smile. And I'll see you on the Dr. B VIP and Extreme Health Academy. God bless you. I love you. Have a great day.